You're thinking of getting a family computer. Should you get the computer more kids use in schools? Or should you get the computer that runs all the most popular business software? Or should you get the computer that's easier to use than any other personal computer in the world? The answer is yes.
Best 30 plus minute album conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, he says there's only three things in this life worth cheering for: a buttered crumpet, a cup of tea, and and his favorite band of all time, Coldplay. Leander Cady is here.
Yeah. Hey, Irfan.
What's going on, Leander? Also joining us, if you see a man in the wilderness wearing short jean shorts, a half-button flannel, and a sensually manicured beard, you've spotted him. Buster Hine is here.
Oh, hello.
Is that your hiking attire, too?
Yeah, that's exactly how I hike around. You forgot the boots, but, you know.
The knee-high army boots?
Yeah.
What a show we have for you guys this week. So we're actually going to be doing a Faves and Raves, the end of the episode this week. Right, Leander?
Oh, yeah, right.
Right, Buster?
Yes, see.
Faves and Raves, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and then vote on which one's best. Well, tech or apps. Do you guys have hardware or apps this week?
I'm going to go with an app.
Yeah, okay, cool. I hope we don't have the same one. Leander, what do you got? Is it hardware or app? You don't even know
it's
yet,
surprise,
do you?
It's a surprise, it's a surprise.
It's a surprise to him and us.
Until later, yeah.
We'll, of course, be going over all this week's best Apple news, and we have to talk more about this Apple FBI thing, don't we, fellas? Because it's blowing up.
It's blowing up, so hot
right now.
It's so hot right now. FBI Apple's so
It's a big,
right
big
now.
Deal, too, as well. You know, it really is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. This is, like, the legal battle of our age, I feel like. And
absolutely.
It's so long overdue. And it's all coming to a head now, finally. And it just seems so strange that it's coming to a head with Apple. You would think that it would have served the FBI better to go after, like, a smaller target, you know, like maybe like a startup.
Well, they did. There's some interesting history, which we can talk about in a minute. But, you know, there is some very interesting history about this.
Okay, well, we'll go into that, and Leander can share all his insight. Before we jump into the rigmarole, allow me, if you would, dear chaps, to offer a quick word about Cult Cloth. Take a look down at the keyboard on your Mac. What does it look like? Is it covered with grime and grossness and dead skin and God knows what else? What about the screen on your Mac? What about the screen on your iPhone, on your iPad? Are they covered in grease and gnarly stuff of which you could not identify? Well, you know what? My technology is not, because I keep my technology in tip-top shape. I keep it sparkling clean, and all my devices look just like the day that I bought them. That's because Cult Cloth is the best way to keep your gadgets clean, your sunglasses sparkling clean, your lenses sparkling clean. You'll find new uses for them all the time. They are absolutely impeccable at picking up grime, grossness, grease. Cult Cloth is a product that I launched because I was so impressed with them. I knew other people would find them just as useful as I have. You can check them out at cultcloth.co. You can see pictures of them there, testimonials of them there. You can see a video of me using them so you can see how well they clean. And if you decide you want to place an order, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You will get a free clean cloth with any order. By the way, we ship worldwide, and we have shipped these things all over the world. If you are anal like me about keeping your technology and gear clean, I invite you to check them out at cultcloth.co. That is cultcloth.co. All right, guys. Can we start with a fun story?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with this one. And humor me for a moment, if you would. Let's say that money's not an issue. Let's say we each had $1 million, right? Let's say you made $1 million a year. So it's like a reoccurring revenue source. If you had $1 million a year, how much would you spend for a box of Steve Jobs' old stuff, which may include a pair of stinky used Birkenstocks, a black Next turtleneck, a used Seiko wristwatch, and a group of other Steve Jobs items, including a Next business card, a vintage Apple pen, What do you got, Buster? How much money would you spend on this box of Steve Jobs memorabilia?
Maybe
we're gonna find out who's the ultimate fanboy here.
$20.
Now, come on,
$30. $30.
You get a pair of Steve Jobs authentically soiled Birkenstocks.
Yeah, I got two pairs at home. What do I need his for?
Because they have the magic of Steve Jobs' sweat in them. Oh, yours are just your sweat, which isn't worth a lot.
That's true.
Maybe $50.
$80. $80 tops.
Leander, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with Buster. Nothing. Zero interest in it whatsoever.
What?
Yeah.
The bidding started at $850, and we're not quite sure exactly how much it went for. But if I were a millionaire, I would spend probably $5,000 for this box.
Well.
Of course, I was also the guy who thought it would be really cool to have the business card and the Apple Genius shirt from that guy named Samsung.
Yeah.
You guys remember a while back when he auctioned that off? This is some cool Apple memorabilia, Leander. I'm surprised that you're not more willing to throw down some ducats. It's $1 million a year. You're not even willing to spend $50.
Could you really tell the difference between that and some box at a, you know, like a yard sale you go by and you'd see some stuff that's been left out on the street? I mean, it's not even the iconic stuff, is it, really? I mean, it's not even really the interesting stuff that Jobs owned.
Well, that's what makes it cool. It's a pair of his old Birkenstocks. Like, who else is going to have something like that?
His wife. Yeah,
everyone's going to have a stinky turtleneck. They're going to have like a Next shirt or an old Next computer. That's stuff that all the losers buy. Anyone can get their hands on that. But this is a pair of Birkenstocks. This is what he used to pace around back and forth as he came up with his next great idea or chastised one of his employees by screaming at him. This holds true value.
Who put it up for sale? There's no story there.
An auction house.
No, but I mean, you know, who had this box of stuff?
Maybe his youngest daughter trying to get some easy money or something.
Lisa, dude, you know she's set up for life. She's set up for life.
That's true. Yeah, all those kids, they would never pawn this.
All right, we don't know. I don't know, Leander. I'm sorry. I don't know the answer to that question. But clearly you guys aren't nearly as passionate fanboys as I thought you were, especially you, Leander. I have to say I'm somewhat disappointed.
You know, if it was a pair of Joe Strummer's Birkenstocks, I might go for it, but not Jobs.
If it was Ron Jeremy's robe or G-string, maybe you'd be willing to throw it on.
No, not Ron Jeremy. No.
Okay. Let's move on to some real Apple, worthy Apple news. Let's talk about Siri coming to Mac this fall, Buster.
Oh, snap. Is she?
So tell us about it.
Supposedly she's coming to Mac this fall.
Heck yeah.
OS X 10.12. Kaboom.
Okay, moving on. That's all the call casts we have for you guys this week.
I think maybe the only interesting part about that was like she'll be like a menu bar item. You click on that to like activate it. And it won't like take over the entire screen. She'll just be like in a little box in the upper right corner.
Can I tell you what I think is interesting about this story, though?
Sure.
Okay, so as you just mentioned, you're like, well, it's just Siri coming to Mac. And per this report, other than this as the tentpole feature, according to the report, minor user interface tweaks across the system and application windows, along with some performance improvements. So it sounds like there's not really going to be a lot of major features that we know of so far. Right, Buster?
Yeah.
Okay. Following that logic, there's no way if this debuts at the Worldwide Developers Conference in June, there's no way they can just come out, talk about this, and call it a day. They have to have something bigger than this. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah. I think the under-the-hood improvements or whatever will be the biggest
draw.
You think so? I don't know. I mean... Yeah, definitely, I guess. I mean, they're doing a full OS X update every year now. So I think there's got to be a couple years where it's just bug fixes pretty much, you know?
That's true. But I was thinking, what an opportune time to say, hey, since we don't have a lot of features, big features coming out for OS X, what a perfect time to release some new MacBook Pros, MacBook Airs, as we talked about last week. This does not totally affirm what I was saying last week, that it's been like 4 years since we've gotten major updates for the MacBook Pro, 6 years for the MacBook Air. It's time for new MacBook Pros. This seems like an opportune time, doesn't it?
Sure.
You're begrudgingly. You don't want to give this to me. And
MacBooks in June. No, I mean they are. Like, I mean, it feels like clockwork. I don't think it would be a surprise to anybody if new MacBooks came out in June.
Like, I don't mean like updated MacBooks though. I mean like a big
redesign MacBooks. Yeah. I don't know. I would actually. I would be more surprised for that. But
yeah. Leander, any thoughts? A penny for your thoughts?
I wasn't listening.
Sorry. Tuppence for your thoughts.
I was checked out. I was researching something.
Or were you just leaned back in your chair, like knuckle deep into your nose?
No. I was reading. I'm reading something on the web.
Like, what is it? Is it interesting?
About encryption in the 90s.
Oh, great. That sounds terribly
Which I'm going to be talking about at length.
Yeah. Are you trying to come up with your opinion on the matter?
I'm highlighting pages and pages of Wikipedia, which I'm going to be quoting verbatim.
Leander's got his glasses on. He's like going to lean into the screen and literally read us verbatim what it says on Wikipedia about encryption here. Okay, well... We will soon see, because Apple has reported, you know, March 15th event. We haven't heard anything else about it, although it's not even yet the end of February, although we're getting close. So we're going to find out about a March 15th event. Wouldn't you say? We're going to hear about it in the next, I would say, 10 days. Wouldn't you say, Buster?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, they usually give the media like 7 days notice. But if we don't get major refreshes of MacBook Pros at the 15th event... If that event even exists, I think June's our time. I think June is finally our time. We're going to get the MacBook Pros we demand and desire. So let's talk about encryption then, Leander.
Okay.
So this story just keeps getting bigger. Tim Cook was on TV last night talking with David Muir and making his case on why Apple doesn't want to help the FBI. The FBI is demanding that Apple helps them with unlocking this iPhone, and Apple says no, they're not going to do it. And this is kind of heating up, isn't it, Leander?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. They're going to be hauled before Congress next week, right? The head of the FBI and Apple's top lawyer are going to be testifying, and Cook says he wants it to go all the way to the Supreme Court, and he's calling for Congress, you know, to clarify the situation. And the FBI is sticking to its guns. And I heard on the radio this morning the head of the FBI saying, oh, no, you know, trust us. It's just about this one phone.
Trust us, wink, wink.
No intention of setting a precedent here.
Meanwhile, I was reading that the FBI is asking Apple to help them unlock 9 additional iPhones.
Right, and that's in a – well, Buster, you know about it, right?
Well, yeah, there's over 100, I think. Around the country, everybody's lining up to be like, oh, okay, if they're going to unlock it for that guy, we're going to put in our requests.
Right. And it makes sense, right? It's like, if you can get your phone unlocked, why can't we get our phone unlocked? And here's the crazy thing. So if you don't know a lot about this case, it's kind of complicated. And one of the things the FBI is leaning on to get Apple to unlock this phone is a law from 1989. Called the All Writs Act. 1789. Sorry. Leander was there when they signed it. And he had that white wig on. He's like, I say, good law, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
he was one of the yays. It's an arcane body of law which broadly allows courts to issue writs, subpoenas, and other orders and force companies to comply with investigations. And so that is what the FBI is using as the crux of their argument to get Apple to give them what they need. So there's not any law really at all, any solid law in the books that would compel Apple to actually oblige the FBI. And so this is a very murky territory for Apple. And in that lens, it makes a lot of sense that Apple's fighting this, because it is going to set a new precedent, because there are no laws really that regulate this type of thing. But I was reading some legal interpretations of this situation, and Apple's going to argue, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Buster, if I stumble here, that this All Writs Act shouldn't be applied to them. But if it is, and the court upholds it, and Apple is forced to comply with this judgment to help unlock this iPhone, if Apple says no and takes this all the way to the Supreme Court, they could be fined. And if that doesn't work, they could actually send Tim Cook to jail.
What?
They could send Tim Cook to jail in contempt of court for not forcing Apple to do what the court is asking them to do.
That wouldn't happen. I mean, last night, Tim Cook, during his interview, said, you know, if that's what the law says, we will do it. But he's trying to push this into a public discussion and get it into like a congressional debate, which they're going to start doing on Monday. Apple's head of legal counsel and the FBI will be at a congressional hearing to start talking about it.
Do you have any trust in Congress, though, coming to a sensible...
I was literally just going to say that. Right. I was literally just going to say that.
Because then it becomes more like a partisan issue. But I think that's kind of what Tim Cook wants, though, is, you know, the public has less of a voice if it's all decided by the courts, whereas if it's decided by Congress, everybody can complain to their local congressmen and hopefully make some
change. Congressmen can
Congress has a history
them.
Of passing terrible, terrible laws, though, you know, when
well,
it comes to
Well, don't they have a history
technology.
Of also not citing on the, or turning down power, right? They never turn down extra power.
Right. That's right. The biggest thing. And that, I think that's why what's so good about what Apple's doing is once you give the government power, they never give it back to us. So this is really like a huge deal because if the FBI does win, then Apple will have to unlock all those other phones, and who knows when it'll ever stop.
Right.
And the precedent this sets is going to be worldwide. It's going to be felt worldwide, I think.
Yeah.
Leander, sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, the historical context is the crypto wars of the late 90s, early 2000s, when there was, a somewhat similar debate, but it was about exporting strong crypto to foreign countries. Mm-hmm. So the Clinton administration, you know, set up a set of rules that a strong crypto could not be exported to other countries. And so it had a big effect on Windows and Netscape Navigator, on email programs. Remember PGP, Phil Zimmerman? Windows had to, like, downgrade its security to be compliant with these export rules. So the cryptography in Windows was extremely weak, and they cracked it in a day, you know, using a single PC. And, do you remember all the... I mean, there was a lot of problems with... I remember really distinctly all these problems with Windows and security with viruses in the late 90s. You know, like there'd be a report, like there'd be a virus spreading in Asia, and then when Europe came up online, when people started to... You know, this is in the era when people used to turn their computers off overnight. And then, you know, this contagion would spread all across Europe, and then it would light up the east coast of the U.S., and then it would spread to the Midwest, and then finally the Pacific. It was craziness. You know, there were so many security problems with Microsoft that when Apple was developing OS X, you know, I remember them making a really big deal about security and the underpinnings of Unix, you know, and how this was a network operating system. It was super secure. It wasn't going to suffer any of the problems that... that Windows was suffering from. And so I think, you know, things like encryption and security and privacy have been really baked into Apple's DNA from, you know, going back to that you know, the Steve Jobs era when he came back.
And now Apple is reportedly trying to make it harder, even harder, to hack their iPhones.
Right. Buster knows a little bit about this. Right. There's two or three things, right? They've tightened up.
Well, and they want to encrypt, like, all of iCloud backups that way. Because Apple will, you know, give the government the data they have about you if it's accessible to them. Now they're trying to close off any of that data so they can't give it at all. Then that way it's just they make the product. They don't have to interfere in any of these legal situations where they're compelled to break their own services or basically spy on U.S. citizens for them.
Right. That's what's totally fascinating about this is that the FBI has revealed to Apple that one of its last big security holes is Apple itself. And this is what they're buttoning up now. It's amazing,
right.
Yeah.
Thanks, FBI.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this was the information they were actually able to get from the from that terrorist iPhone was the backup on iCloud. And because Apple holds it, and they're apparently able to give it over if subpoenaed. And Apple was actually telling the FBI when they first got this iPhone, well, what you should do is take the iPhone back to the original office where this guy worked, because if it connects to his Wi-Fi network and you plug it in, that may initiate an auto backup, and then we can give you all the information that you want, because they were able to get a backup originally, but the backup was old. It was like hadn't been updated in like 6 weeks. So for whatever reason, the FBI had decided to reset the iCloud password, and I don't know why they were trying to do this. I don't know if you guys know, but because they did that, it disconnected the iPhone from its ability to do an auto backup, and so the phone couldn't be backed up anymore. So the FBI kind of shot themselves in the foot. And that's when they started going to Apple and asking them to help them unlock it.
Yeah.
Well, Whereas they may have been able to actually get all the data off of it.
Right, but that was totally murky. Was it ever really clear why they were mucking around with the password and changing it?
I have no idea. I'm wondering if they...
I couldn't figure that out either.
Did they do it maybe thinking they could get access to his email and could do the reset themselves and then get access to the phone? Maybe, I don't know. Sounds like they had some real amateurs on the case, though.
What?
I'm just saying, the best hackers don't work for the FBI.
Dude, careful what you say, man. You know, you might end up in Guantanamo.
There's suggestions for, you know, for Apple's, you know, to load up a custom iOS, you know, with the security codes. I mean, that's fairly sophisticated. I mean,
sure,
it's not totally.
But they also had access to Apple engineers who probably were like, oh, well, the only way we could do that is this, and this, and that technology.
No, I see. That's where they got the idea. Yeah.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, it's totally possible. Just create you some custom firmware. No problem. Let me just ask Tim Cook. Let me just get the go-ahead from Tim Cook, and we'll get started on this for you.
He said no. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, he said no.
Well, you know, what's another interesting thing. I mean, I was watching this. It's somewhat related, but a documentary about the bomb the other night on the TV, and it was talking about how Oppenheimer, you know, who developed the bomb during the war, became subject to these McCarthyite witch hunts, you know, later in his career,
yeah.
And was spied on by the FBI, and they totally ruined his career with all these, you know, insinuations and delving into his private life and so on and so forth, you know. And this is one of, like, you know, America's most trusted scientists. You know, he was within the establishment, and even someone like that in his position is getting spied on. And I think, you know, Cook is well aware of this stuff and has studied history and knows a lot about the civil rights era. You know, MLK and all of the civil rights leaders were spied on by the FBI, and they were actually undermining, weren't they, the civil rights movement. And I think this is what Cook is afraid of. You know, he has absolutely no trust whatsoever in this idea that, you know, that we should... And the whole Snowden thing, right? You know, with the NSA sucking up everyone's private information. You know, I think he really is taking... He's said many times that this is a civil rights issue, isn't it? And,
right.
And you know, I think he's taken a principled stand, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. It's different than it used to be, though. I'm not saying this justifies any action by the FBI in that, and I said this last show, the FBI has always been able to or the legal system has always been able to intervene in your life and take things from you if they get a subpoena, right? So there's never been a case where they couldn't get something from you, or usually it would be easy to, you know, get something off your computer. Whereas now, literally everyone has their life encrypted on these devices, and so this capability is gone. And so, as Tim Cook said, it's going to take an act from Congress to work out a way for the cops, the FBI, to get your data if they actually wanted. Because right now, even if they subpoena data from you, like they are in this case with Apple, like, they can't get it.
Yeah.
And Apple's just saying sorry.
I think that's a big thing that people miss, though, is that Apple, there's no data for Apple to hand over. The FBI isn't subpoenaing data like they always do. They're asking for Apple to do something instead of give something. And they're asking Apple to create, you know, this software and basically hack their own iPhone, which is completely different than, hey, give us like a backup or something like that.
Yeah, or give us the iPhone and we'll hack it ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's totally different because they're trying to compel Apple with this act from 1789, when people were still riding around on horses, to break into their own device. Well, they have to create the software, right? And then they have to digitally sign the software.
Yeah.
And install it on this iPhone to get it to actually, you know, give them what they want.
Yeah, and, you know, like Tim Cook was explaining last night, like, oh, well, you can just destroy the key afterwards. But if you have, you know, these hundreds of other people also requesting that Apple do it for their phones, you have to keep that software alive and always keep it on a server. And that's totally vulnerable to attack at any time.
Oh, so that was one of his points.
Yeah.
Is that he's like, we do it for one phone, and in that case, you could destroy it. But yeah, I guess with all these requests coming in.
He said, yeah, it would be a living, breathing piece of software. Like, it's not something that we could just destroy after once, because then we would have to go in every single time and remake the software for each individual case. So
right,
there's
which
no,
doesn't make any
yeah,
sense.
They're not going to do that. They're going to have it on like a super secure drive some server somewhere that they can tap into, but that's not safe for everybody.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. This story keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't think Tim Cook is going to end up in jail.
No.
But I have to admit, I had a lot of fun thinking about him being hauled off to the slammer and using like that cup to like drag it across the bars, you know, and spending like a year or two in jail for not. Yeah, come on. Can I have another crust of bread, sir?
I'm so hungry. Like his interview, he said that was like really interesting to me was that they found out about the FBI's order through the press. There was no pre-warning about it, even though they had been talking with the FBI for weeks ahead of time. The FBI just slammed it through him, and then Apple found out like when we did. And so I don't know. It sounds like there's like the FBI is being really shady on this, I feel like.
Well, you got to feel good knowing at least you got Apple's legal team at your disposal.
Oh.
Probably one of the finest legal teams in the world.
Well, and they've brought over the guy that argued Citizens United and the Bush versus Gore case in the Supreme Court, and another guy who helped bring down Prop 8 in California. So they have, you know, Apple can buy the best lawyers in the world. So
right.
They're not
worried.
They have
unlimited resources.
Yeah.
Plus, I think they have the goodwill of the people.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing is people don't understand the issue. And so like when the first poll came out from like Pew and people were, it was leaned like people saying that Apple should follow the FBI's request. A few days later, I think after more people, realize what the issue is, more and more people are saying, no, don't do that.
I think you're right. I mean, the issue is so complicated. People don't understand what's involved. It makes it sound as though all Apple needs to do is just, boot up the phone and just unlock it.
Yeah.
And why won't they do that?
Right. And it's not that simple.
Yeah. And it's definitely not as cut and dry as that. So this story will be developing. We'll keep covering it as we get new information. And if Tim Cook goes to jail, that will be a sad day. We should all write him letters and make him more chipper. He'll be happy to hear from us.
He reads all of them, he said. So.
He reads all of them, and he'll have even more time in the slammer and federal penitentiary to read our emails and our encouragements. So we'll do whatever we can to improve his mood. I think we should go ahead and move it on to the faves and raves. Oh. Faves and raves. Oh, thank you. That was glorious. Thank you. This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and vote on which one's best. I have an app this week, and I think that it has a pretty good chance of winning. I'll be honest with you guys.
Yeah, right.
It's actually – well, I don't want to say too much about it. I won't start pitching it yet. Does anyone want to go first?
What you got, Busta?
Buster?
I'm actually going to go with hardware.
That's what I like to hear.
And it's super simple, dude. It's just a iPad mini keyboard case from Zag called the Ultrabook. Yeah. It's called the Slimbook. That's what it is. I like it because it's not attached to like the whole case. Isn't like one keyboard case. You can like take the keyboard off and still have the case on the iPad.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I mean, it's backlit. The battery lasts for 2 years, so you never have to charge
it.
Yeah.
It's backlit and the battery lasts for 2 years?
Yeah, if you're 2 years if you're only typing on it an hour a day, which I don't even do that. So
dang, that's pretty good for a backlit keyboard.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, it's a little bit heavy. I mean, it's not the same weight as the iPad mini, but almost. So it does add some heft. But
yeah,
I actually just used it at CES the whole time we were there. And
to write stories and stuff?
Yeah, instead of taking my MacBook Air and like the power cord and all the dongles and stuff, I would just bring my iPad mini to showstoppers and stuff like that, and then write out a draft for my post using this stupid little itty bitty keyboard. And it just looks absolutely ridiculous trying to type on it. It's just like a little person's keyboard. But it's
I'm
not
imagining
bad.
It, and I'm laughing.
It only took a little bit of a day to get used to, and then it's just same like hunt and peck like a regular keyboard. But yeah, I really dig it.
Okay, the Zag Slimbook. How much does it cost?
It's like $120, but I think they have a sale right now, so it's only $90.
Okay, $120 normally.
And you're still a big fan of the mini, Buster, the iPad mini.
Yeah, I love my iPad mini, but I'm gonna get rid of that bitch for the iPad Air 3.
Oh, you're going to upgrade, huh?
Yeah, just because I need... Well, actually, using that little thing... I mean, iOS is great. You can work on the iPad mini just as well as an iPad Air. You just don't have as much screen size. So I'm like, eh, I could get a little bit more screen size and like pretty much work anywhere on an iPad Air if I wanted to.
So you're going to try to make the switch to go to an iPad for your productivity and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I give it 4 months.
Yeah.
4 months, 4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks. Actually, you'll be back.
The Air is it's a great iPad, you know. It's really a great size. It's, you know, great battery life, great, really light.
Which iPad is that?
The iPad Air.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love the mini because it's portable. I can fit it in my back jean pocket and, like, walk around with it. It's like, but...
You can fit that thing in your back jean pocket?
Yeah, man.
No.
So slim. Yeah.
Are you still wearing the slim jeans?
Oh, yeah, dude. Super, super skinny fit. So hipster.
And you can fit that thing in your back pocket.
Yeah, yeah. It's very nice, man.
You're going to have to send me a picture of that.
Oh, okay. I'll
please.
Send you. You're just wanting a picture of my derriere.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. I don't even need... Just don't even put the iPad in. Just send me the picture, and I'll judge on my own whether or not I think those pockets are big enough. Just make sure to flex for me, okay? I want to make sure I get the realistic picture there.
Nice.
Butt cheeks. Okay, Leander.
All right, well, I've been testing this Bluetooth boombox from Nine, N-Y-N-E. It's called the Nine Rock, R-O-C-K.
And I swear, like, whenever you pitch something, the spelling of the product is always, like, a normal sounding name, but it's spelled weird.
Weird,
the
huh?
Nine Rock, okay.
Well, this is like an old-fashioned boombox. Remember in the 80s, didn't you have a giant boombox, and the bigger the better?
Oh, of course,
Yeah, I remember, you know, upgrading to this, I can't even remember, TDK, I think it was. It was like a, it was a tube. It was cylindrical, and it was gigantic. and it played tapes, of course, right? But so this is like a return to that, those old days. Like, and this is, it's built for outdoors, you know, for taking to a picnic or taking to the beach. It's got a kind of rubberized surface. And
it looks like a bazooka.
Well, this one, I don't know, this is, are you looking at the right one? Because they have a couple of other ones that... that are a bit smaller. This one's like 21 inches long. So
yeah,
it's
I'm looking
big.
At this thing and it looks like a military bazooka, Leander. Like, I'm pretty sure that people are going to be concerned when you come with this thing on your shoulder to the park.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, it's loud. It really is loud. And you know, you can hear it at the other end of the beach if you have it cranked up. But it's actually kind of like light. It's surprisingly light. It looks like it's going to be heavier than it is. And it runs off like a 8, I think, D batteries. What am I talking about? It's got a rechargeable battery inside.
Okay, got it. Rechargeable battery. I was like 9D batteries. Dear Lord,
I'm losing my mind though. I'm pretty sure. I thought I put some batteries in it. Anyway.
Okay. So do you take this thing? Do you whip off the old shirt, head to the beach with the fam, and just
right.
play
exactly.
super loud Coldplay?
Blast everyone else away from us.
How does all your favorite Coldplay CDs sound on this stereo?
Coldplay. Luckily, it won't play Coldplay. It
what?
Just shuts down. Yeah, the minute anyone tries to put that on.
Just shuts itself off.
Yeah.
Well, why are you pitching it as your pick? That
Coldplay
sounds
free.
Terrible.
It only plays the Clash, old reggae, 70s reggae. And classical, of course.
And
so
British
I like to play Ride of the Valkyries.
The who?
Ride of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Beethoven, okay. You know, some good moving, meaty symphony.
Meaty symphony, huh?
Meaty symphony. That's the kind Leander
likes.
Making
me hungry.
Okay, Leander, how much does this thing cost?
$250.
£250.
Bucks.
Probably dollars.
Not
actually.
Pounds. Yeah,
bucks.
Dollars.
Okay. Well, gosh, you guys went with hardware, huh? I'm going to go with an app. And this is going to be right up your alley, Leander. It's kind of voyeuristic in a way.
What?
You know how you like to like climb up trees and spy on people who are changing?
I think that's Busty you're talking about, not me.
If you like to climb up trees and watch people change in their bedrooms secretly like Leander does, you're going to love this app. So it's called Being. Have you heard of it, Buster?
No.
Okay. This is a really interesting...
Oh, is it Casey Neistat's app? Beamy?
No. Not Beamy. Being, like a human being. This is a really interesting idea, and I have found it to be... It's kind of voyeuristic, and it's super alluring. What it allows you to do is you log in to your Instagram account, and it will scan all your different friends, and then you can boot up any one of your friends, and it will show you their Instagram feed as though you were them. So you can look at all the people that they follow, and you can do this with anyone who has an Instagram account. It doesn't have to be your friends. It could be a celebrity. It could be your neighbor. It could be your ex-girlfriend if you want to be creepy. Anyone. And it's super fascinating because, for instance, I was looking at With Heart's feed, right? So I can look at his feed as though I were him, and I can see all the people that he's following and see all their pictures. So it's great for discovery. If you're into photography, for instance, and you're like, well, I wonder who With Hearts is following, right? He's got like 600,000 Instagram followers now. He's following all these other great photographers. So you can look to see what photographers he's following, and you can follow them from right within the app, or you can like their photos from right within the app. So it's great for discovery, but it's also just kind of fun just to lurk in the shadows and see who people are following.
Yeah.
Because people are following all sorts of zany accounts. And I played with this thing for like 2 hours when I first loaded it onto my iPhone. It's somewhat addictive because you'll go from person to person to person, and you'll get to see all the people that they're following and all the stuff that they're into. And you can actually really learn a lot about somebody from the Instagram accounts that they're following and the kind of photos that you see show up in their feed. Like, some of the things that people are following are super bizarre.
Oh, yeah?
Like, Lander Keeney's. I wouldn't suggest loading Lander Keeney's.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's some really strange fetish stuff, ASMR fetish stuff in there that is just not safe for life, not safe for children. In any case, it's called Being. It's free, so you have no reason not to try it. Kind of creepy, right?
Has been doing this feature, like, weekly, Instagram Black Hole, where they get a photographer, and the photographer... lists five or six usually other photographers that they're following. So it's that kind of thing, you know what I mean? It's a way of, seeing who, giving you tips of, you know, for people to follow through the eyes of, a particular photographer. But this, did you really spend 2 hours on this?
I would say I probably spent 90 minutes,
Okay.
I looked through a lot of people's photos, Lander Keeney.
Did you really
just say really there's boring. Some stuff on I mean, there I, that I don't, doesn't look legal?
Most of the people I follow, I want to get rid of them, but...
oh, really?
I'm afraid that, they're going to see that I unfollowed them, and then I'm going to be in a... I know.
There's some people that I follow on certain social media accounts, and you're like, you don't want to... Like, their accounts are so... snoozeworthy, right? Like, you don't want to follow them anymore.
Sorry,
but you don't want to unfollow them because they're going to be offended. It's right. Like, hey, why did you unfollow me?
Yeah. I know, I don't want to see any more pictures of puppies or dogs, people's pets. I don't want to see any more pictures of food. I mean, how can that be a thing anymore, right? People taking pictures of food. It was the laziest, stupidest thing to do in the first place anyway.
It never looks good either. Whenever you take a picture of food on Instagram, it just looks like vomit. It never looks good.
I don't know about that, but...
There are some people that do it well, but the majority of people, it just looks like crap.
There are literally looks like crap. It looks like you took a big crap and took a picture of it and then posted it with a caption. My favorite dish.
Taste.
Well, that's what it looks
that
like.
That would be better, wouldn't it? That would be kind of more interesting if people actually did take a picture of their bowel movements. Here's what I did today.
That's actually not a bad idea. We should start a new account called Through the Pipe. And it's like you take a picture of a meal after it's gone through your entire digestive tract.
That's good.
Before and after, right?
Before and after.
Here's what it looked like, yeah. Here's what it looks
Here's
like
last
now.
Last night's lasagna.
I used to work with a girl whose dad used to show her what he'd done. I don't know why. It's just coming back to me now.
You mean like he'd be like, "Hey, honey, come take a look at this giant dump I took."
Well, he used to say his phrase was he would launch a brown trout. And so he would say, "Come and look at this trout I just launched." And he would show his daughter, and she was, a grown woman. She was in her 20s.
She's like 45. She's like, "Dad, I really don't want to look at that anymore."
She would tell me about it. Like, they live pretty close together. So he was always doing this to her. He's always really proud of
her. Was he calling her on the phone and asking her to come over and check it out?
I guess no. And if she was visiting or whatever, he would...
I like how Leander starts off the story by saying, I have this weird friend, and this is totally what he does.
Secretly, yeah, right. It's me.
I think I had like 10 high school friends and college friends that used to do this exact same thing, Leander. Was this not a popular thing when you were young?
I've never done it personally. I mean, well, I don't, how much do we want to get into this discussion?
No, we don't. We don't. In fact, we're running out of time. We think we should probably go ahead and wrap it up there. But yeah, we definitely need to start that Instagram account before and after. I wonder if Instagram would allow it. Well, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah. Well, if you don't put any hashtags or telling keywords, if you use terms like brown trout, it might take them a little while to figure out. Brown trout.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're so close to 30 minutes that we definitely should wrap it up there. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're going back to the good old days, guys. That's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week, but if you want to send us pictures of your brown trout,
don't.
First of all, don't. Right. But do come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at Arifon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. Make sure you're following at Cult of Mac for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus, well, just 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Awesome. Oh, sorry. Was this Leander sending me a picture of his brown trout? Oh, sorry. I thought one of you guys messaged me. Man, that's an interesting story, Leander. I did. I'm not sure how to feel about it. I feel like you should probably say something to your friend.
I haven't seen her for years. This is back in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, she was funny. But yeah, this was and I really don't know why he did this. I guess he just never got over it. Yeah,
in college, but to do it to your daughter when you're like 55, 60 years old.
It must have been 60s easily, yeah.
That seems like it crosses a boundary.
Yeah.
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 Brody.
It was, they were sharing a moment.
There are some moments that are meant to be experienced alone.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I was going to say that, because it's kind of satisfying to check them out every now and again, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You got to look. You got to look.
Okay. All right. I'm out of here.
The higher the pile, the bigger the pride.
All right. Me too.
That's how you know you're a real man.